Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Hey, look, I want to just say to everybody, Jonathan is joining me. Jonathan Bell is joining me here again today. We're going to give everybody, this is our COVID-19, and I have to call it a good news segment, a good news update. And now, why would I call it a good news update? Here's why. The other day when Jonathan was on, you heard us talk about the fact that he and folks, I guess, at his law firm, they are bringing information. He is on the forefront. How do I know that? Is because I got on Facebook, messaged him this morning, and we're going to tell you a little bit what I was messaging him. And he immediately reached out to help me, and more importantly, connected me with somebody else. So when I say that beyond being a fantastic attorney, representing labor law across the country, you know, he and what his colleagues are doing, mostly him, I think, at this point, they are doing what Gina Rivera is doing for Business of One people, connecting and providing information. So I don't know what I don't know. And today, Jonathan, I know even less than I thought I knew. How are you? How are you doing? Oh, did we lose Jonathan?
Sounds like we did.
All right. We'll get him back.
Yep.
But let me continue while we get him back. And hopefully, Olivia, I don't know what happened there. So I reached out to Jonathan this morning, Benny. I was like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So here's what happened. So I built a relationship with my bank regionally, right? I have my own regional consultant person.
Right.
Because I did a bunch of interviews with the head of small businesses for my bank. Mm-hmm. And I've been working with them, and banks were not taking applications up until about 2 weeks ago. They just weren't. In order for you to file for anything, you either did it online and then the portal wasn't working,
right,
or you had your PPP application, you printed it, and then you had to find like a local place and then bring your stuff there. But when I was getting ready to do this, my bank called me and said, oh, wait a minute, you can go online. So I went online. So what didn't I know? And this is something that Gina talked about the other day a little bit, but we didn't get into it. So everybody is hearing the news that for the first time in our history, that our government is going to take care of contract freelancer, otherwise known as 1099 folks. That's what the big announcement was. That is the biggest misrepresentation of the truth that I have heard in a really long time. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that is that, first of all, you're introducing people that were never eligible for something like unemployment. For the first time, they are now in a place where they can, quote, apply. Mm-hmm. But then you apply. So the first thing that happens to you when you apply, you get rejected right out of the gate. That's number one. Then they send the company, me, the forms. So they say, we rejected your person. Do you want to make them standby? And I'm like, of course I want to make them standby. We don't want anybody like to disappear. So you make them standby. Then I find out this morning because I'm talking to Jonathan. Thank God for him, because I mean, I don't know how many potholes I'm stepping in, and I know people, Benny.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what the rest of the self-employed, business of one people, independent people are going through?
Yeah, it's so unreal. It's unreal.
Oh, it's unreal. It's crazy. So then I find out, ready for this one? This is the kicker. If you have to tell your people that they are potential, like the furlough,
right?
They can't volunteer and work for your company.
Right.
You could get in trouble. So you either got to fire them or reduce them to part-time. Yeah. So that's why we got Jonathan back.
Yep.
Because this is new information. And man, I'll tell you, I don't know how he's got time to shower. Jonathan, welcome back.
Dr. Pat, sorry about that. My power went out for some strange reason. So
I know.
We got it back on and here we are. How are you doing?
Well, we may lose you again, but I got to kick it back to you if you can hear me. We don't know what we don't know. I'm finding stuff out today and I am shocked. I don't even know what to advise my people.
Yeah. So just going over some issues that we spoke about in the past, I get that a lot. Some people, the employees want to continue to work for their employer because they like their employer, they're treated well, and the employer sometimes is not in a position now, given the economy, to keep them on. They're saying, listen, I'll file for unemployment, but don't worry about it. I'll continue to work for you. I'll work from home. I'll volunteer.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's going to happen a lot. I mean, the problem is, number one, if you have to, the way you get unemployment is you tell them you're either not employed or you're working some type of limited part-time salary,
right,
and you get paid less than a certain amount. But the bigger problem is that when you work and you provide value to your employer, all the labor laws require the employer to pay the employee. So there could be an agreement. It's almost like minimum wage. Let's say you have minimum wage. An employee comes to you and says, listen, I understand you can't afford to pay minimum wage, but I'll don't worry about it. I'll work for less. We have an agreement. I'll even enter into a contract. Well, guess what? That contract is not binding, because that's why they have something called minimum wage. You can't pay below that amount. So now you're asking them, even if they agree to work for free, they can't work for free. I mean, can they do it? And if they have a close relationship, they'll just look the other way. They can, but you're opening yourself up to liability. Like, for example, in New York, statute of limitations goes back for 6 years. So let's say everything's great right now. You have a good working relationship. Like, don't worry about it. I won't sue you. Just, you give me money when you can. 3 years goes down the road, and now the employee doesn't like the employer that much, or they feel like they've been taken advantage of. Now the employer has to worry about a lawsuit of paying not only the back wages, but double damages, attorney's fees. You get it to a very expensive process. So, beware if you're working out arrangements, having people work for less than minimum wage or no wage at all, or if you're having the, quote unquote, interns come in, right? Because that's a big thing with the interns. The days of, hey, Sally, go get me some coffee, those days are over. Like, you can't do that. And the whole definition of the reason why in the correct situation you don't have to pay an intern is they're there for the educational experience.
Yeah.
They can't add the employer value. If the employer is the one getting value, they have to be paid minimum wage. So I recommend my clients who want an intern, listen, great, you want an intern, but do me a favor, if you can, just pay them minimum wage. This way you're avoiding even the potential that they're going to come back for a lawsuit.
Yeah. In our cases, we've always employed interns because we've had relationships with the school. And, they don't come in as serious audio producers, right?
Sure.
They come in barely even knowing what an operation like ours is, and they actually learn from us, but they have to be evaluated. There's a form that you fill out. They will get no credits if they don't success. I mean, it's like a course.
Sure.
It's like they have to take a course.
And that's the way it should be. That's the correct way. The intern has to leave with the knowledge and experience, but the employer is not supposed to really gain anything from it. Now there's the law and there's reality. Of course the employer's gonna, hey, do me a favor, run down it. But the intern normally appreciates it because they make connections that when their internship is over, whether it be with you or somebody else, they might be able to work. So oftentimes they don't do anything about it. We've all heard of those lawsuits.
I think where we are is, and this is me now, and I'm going to not talk to you as you're an attorney, right? I'm going to say some things in the reality of what's going on in the world. And you know you're going to reply back because you are an attorney. But the reality is that people don't have access to somebody like you. And as a matter of fact, they're not even thinking about, am I going to get sued? They're thinking about, I got Mary, Bobby, Joey here that I want to be part of my team when this is over. They want to be part of our team. What are we going to do to make that work? And I'm going to tell you that from my experience, without naming any names, my friends and colleagues are doing what they can to keep that stability. So here's why, for two reasons. One, when all is said and done, the worst crisis to the economy of our country is going to be all the people filing for bankruptcy. All the employees that really are not going to have any jobs to come back to. I had a friend of mine that got changed from standby, is it? Status change from standby to, you know what? You're fired. Because in the scheme of things, we figured out how to do this without you. And, you know, the reality is that people are finding ways to make it work, whether it violates labor law or not. And I think that's the situation that's been created here. How do we address that when people are simply trying to survive here, Jonathan?
It's tough. If you asked me this a month or 2 months ago, before this whole pandemic, you know, people, you know, businesses were surviving and doing well, and you know, a lot of employers, they don't want to deal with the HR problems on their own, but they're not big enough to have their in-house attorneys or HR people. And they would essentially pay a lawyer like me a consulting fee.
Yep.
Essentially what I would do is I would go over their handbooks. I would go over their employee contracts. I would consult with them as to how to properly hire and fire. I'd help them with the, you know, these ADA accessibility lawsuits. If you're a place of public accommodation, being wheelchair accessible, also your website, making your website. So they would come to me, they would, you know, we would put together some type of package for them. And then I was there to make sure that they wouldn't get sued. And if they did, they have a very strong defense. That's what my company does. And we still do that. Okay. That's a big part of how I make my living is,
yeah,
if you come to me now, you're going to be paying a fraction of the amount that you'd have to owe me in the future if you're being sued because you're doing so many things wrong.
Yeah.
You know, classification, independent contractor versus employee, all this kind of stuff they come to me for, and that's what I would do. Now, I've transitioned because of what's going on, and I said on your show before, I'm giving out free advice on how to deal with this situation. And I'm giving out free advice, like I said, because it's just the right thing to do. I'm not going to sit there, and when a company is struggling to keep on employees and barely staying afloat, then I'm going to say, okay, by the way, I'm going to charge you for my service. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to help you. And most of the calls have been 15 to 20 minutes, and I'm getting a lot of Amazon gift cards because people feel like they want to do the right thing. So I've been doing that. You know, and the consulting with someone like me is ongoing because of the fact that the laws are always changing. Like me and you have had private conversations about PPP and everything else. Well, I'm here as a resource. I find it interesting. I'm staying up on the law. And because people know that when anybody hears anything, it seems to funnel through me. So they're helping me find some things. And we're getting through it. I think I, you know, even told you this morning, I'm one of the lucky few people that were approved for the PPP. I didn't expect it. I heard yesterday the money was running out. Today it was verified. The money's gone. I won't. This morning saying, okay, you know, but we all thought we were going to get it. No one really thought we were at risk not to. It was almost like a promise.
Yeah, it was a promise.
And then I surprised when I woke up and I saw an email from Chase at 3 a.m. saying, congratulations, you are approved. I consider myself very lucky. There was no rhyme or reason other than the fact that I happened to have a friend who worked in the bank. He was probably looking out for a little bit, and maybe he pushed it along. Maybe he did. I don't know the answer as to why I got it and most people didn't. But what I hope is that the people who did apply, that the government will come through on the promise. It's very important. It's important for the businesses. It's important for the unemployment numbers. Everyone has to stay home pretty much. So you're kind of helping us bridge that gap. They see the importance of it, but now they got to get to the table and work out the kinks. This is not the time to play partisan politics. You can't have the Republicans say, well, the Democrats are holding it up, without showing the true story of, yeah, the Democrats are holding it up because people aren't having equal access. It's only the people who, like me, I happen to have a relationship with somebody at the bank, that got it, versus your everyday mom and pop pizza store on the corner who's dying to survive and they can't get access to it. That's not fair. So I agree that they got to kind of work out the kinks and get this for everybody.
You know, what you're pointing out to is really significant. So let's play this through for a minute, because you're right. So somebody sitting in Washington somehow thinks in their formula that, and I've been tweeting them and I've said, you people need to go online and try to file this for yourself. You need to go online and try to answer that question that says, you know, are you an owner or are you I mean, it's a ridiculous question. If you answer yes, then you got to fill out the information again. Then it sounds like you're not really owning your company, that somebody else is owning it. So second time around, I said, no, I'm the one. That's it. Then you get to a box that says, oh, are you an owner or are you something? And you have to check both boxes. And this is me. Mom and pop, number one, your accountant is not available to help you right now. Accountants are trying to get taxes done. They are affected by COVID-19. My accountant was down to two people, right? So here we are now. I was told this morning by a friend of mine, so maybe you can comment, that I shouldn't be helping my employees try to figure out what to do. And I looked at him and I said, what are you talking about? He said, Pat, I'm telling you, what you tell your employees, if you give them the wrong advice, you will be in trouble. So he's telling me, you got to tell your employees to go to this website, look it up, find out what you're eligible for, go to this website, look it up. Here's what I'm going to say about you. I have the obligation to tell them that. Here's what I'm going to say. You're reduced now to 5 hours a week. I'm going to say that, right? Whatever that is. But I'm not used to operating like that, Jonathan. I'm used to operating it like helping people, right, and not worried about if I'm going to violate some labor law or get sued.
Yeah, I don't see any lawsuits like that. I'm the type of person too that if I have my staff, to me, I make them feel like it's a family because they are family. The way that I run my business is I feel like I work for them, not that they work for me. And if there's any way that I could help them, I'm going to help them. You're not an attorney. You're not giving legal advice. You're giving what you think is right and you're being honest. So I would continue to do that. I can't imagine any lawsuit being filed against you because you gave them your opinion on how to do something and you might have been wrong. I just don't see it. I mean, you know, the typical lawsuits, you know, involve, you know, not paying people properly who are working overtime, not giving them time and a half, or some type of, you know, discriminating against someone, sexual harassment. Those are where the cases are. And what the employees who have to be more concerned are the ones who are, when an employee comes back and says, listen, I tested positive for COVID-19, you got to do the right things in the law in those situations. As far as the paid sick leave, you can't just turn around and fire them, unless if you're firing everybody because your business is closing, then you can fire them. So it's still an important time in certain issues to be contacting a labor attorney. And you want to contact someone who knows what they're doing and reading the new laws every day. I mean, that's really the key, because something, and whenever I advise a client, I say, listen, I'm advising you today, and I give them the date. That doesn't mean that things are not going to change tomorrow or the next day. So, you know, keep me on speed dial. And if I think of it, I'll try to contact you too if it affects my advice from the day or two before. It's just like these PPP loans. When they first came out, what they were supposed to be, you're just constantly hearing about changes. And first they were saying that even when you apply for the loan, you could consider your rent and utilities and independent contractors. And then it seems to like kind of like change as things goes on, and then you kind of learn what the truth is. But now, you know, what it is they strictly give you the number based on your payroll. That's it. And then the forgiveness part, you could then pay your rent and utilities as long as it's less than 25% of how you use that money within the 8 weeks time.
Well, and, you know, let's make sure people have your information, because Jessica and I this morning woke up amidst whatever it is, running out of money, New York Times, you know, all of the news. But we came to a thing we're going to do. But before we do that, how do people find out about you? How do they get access to you?
Look, the best thing is to go on my Facebook page where I'm constantly putting up new videos about new and changing law. That's my free advice to everybody, for everyone to know. It's a perfect place to start. As far as contacting me, you could always call me on my phone, which is 855-JOHN-BELL, J-O-N-B-E-L-L, or shoot me an email. It's on the website or through Facebook, how we've been communicating. The great thing about social media is that there's 100 ways, and I check them all. They always come to my phone, and I try to respond to everybody. If I don't respond after a day, hit me up again. I'm not purposely ignoring you. It's just a lot of people are taking advantage of it. I'm glad they are. But I'm only one person.
I know. I so appreciate you. Look, I want to ask you one last question. Looking ahead a little bit, I know not a lot, a little. What should people be most mindful of to be on the lookout for?
So if you're a small business and you're getting frustrated now because they're not even taking applications for these PPP loans, that's the big one in my mind. It is for whether it be for yourself, because you can get money for yourself, up to the average of the 100,000. Like if you make over $100,000 and you're self-employed, you'll get about $20,000 in this loan that could change to a grant. So that's needed money for somebody who's self-employed. So that's what you want to look for. For people I've been getting a lot of calls, John, I've been trying to file for unemployment, trying. What should I do? My answer is keep trying. Just patience and persistence, and eventually you'll get through, and eventually you'll get the money. That's as much as I could say for the people who are now unemployed. And ultimately, I think that things will get better, and things will have to get better. Just keep motivated, keep being positive, and focus on the fact that this is just one small chapter of an entire life, and everybody's in the same boat as you. So when you're scared and you can't pay your mortgage or your rent or your car, everybody's feeling that pain. So in that group together, when you come together, you realize that you're not the only one, and you find some strength in that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jonathan. We'll be hearing more from you. Thank you for the update. And again, thank you for all you're doing.
Terrific. Thanks for having me on.
And for those of you out there, Jessica and I did come up with an initiative. We're literally going to fast track our crowdfunding effort that we were going to do anyway for our technology. So we are going to pull out all the stops on what we can offer to people and how you can support us. Thank you all very much. We'll see you next time.